Today, on the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God and joint heirs with Christ. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward any longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generations than the children of light. And I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. As far as the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So we hear in today's Gospel about the unjust steward, about how he was wise in his worldly dealings. And our Lord says that thus the children of this world are wiser than those of the children of light, that we often put forth little effort towards our own sanctification. And perhaps we're not entirely convinced that we're all called to be saints. Perhaps we think that there's just different standards, you know? There's the saints who are canonized, and then for the common Joe, we are just called to observe the commandments, receive the sacraments regularly, and hopefully slide into the kingdom of heaven on the last day. Well, we should recall it was the teaching of the great Thomas over the last centuries, faithfully following St. Thomas Aquinas, to insist that we are all called to holiness. And at the Second Vatican Council in Lumen Gentium chapter 5, it's a beautiful treatise which summarizes this traditional Thomistic teaching. And as there were even attempts intellectually to justify, I read in old theology manuals that somehow with the saints, the degree of holiness isn't really for everybody, okay? And we do right in distinguishing between what is essential to holiness and what is not. We see in the lives of saints oftentimes many extraordinary charismatic gifts of prophecy, of locutions, of working miracles. And of course, none of those gifts, those extraordinary charisms, make anyone holier, okay? Those are rather for the sanctification of others, particularly unbelievers, to prove the faith to them, or gifts they were given to found religious orders, for example, with many extraordinary gifts of knowledge. But when we look at what sanctity essentially consists in loving our Lord with our whole mind, heart, and strength, then we have to conclude that it is for everyone. For our Lord himself spoke of this as the greatest commandment, and not just for his apostles, but for everybody. He didn't say, love the Lord your God at least 15 minutes every day, and you're fine. No, he said, with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. And who can say they've fulfilled that, and they're done, they finished that task? The Apocalypse tells us that the just should be more just still, and the holy, holier still. And as we go through this time of Pentecost, lest the last Sunday take us by surprise, in which we contemplate the final judgment, note that we call these Sundays the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, not just any old ordinary time, no? That it's, we put on green vestments, but to symbolize how fruitful we should be in having received the gift of the Holy Ghost, okay, 8 weeks ago. So let's see if we're growing as we go along. And recalling that our Lord said that we should love him, the greatest commandment knows no limit. And likewise, he bade us to be perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect. And that in the Sermon on the Mount, again, to all of his disciples, all who wish to follow him, were called to that heavenly perfection, a God-like perfection. And St. Thomas more precisely explains it when he says that we have all the means at our disposal, even to arrive at the heights of mystical contemplation. And I hope you come to the class this week on the degrees of prayer. Likewise, we'll see what's basically the teaching of St. Teresa of Avila, who described these different mansions of the soul. And even though the highest mansion seems far, far above us, nonetheless, we should know that we are called to those heights, and that what she receives in contemplation and transforming union with God is all potentially contained in the supernatural theological virtues and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, right? Faith, hope, and charity, by which we can perform supernatural acts, and the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, so as to perform them in a supernatural manner. Okay? So that should make us think that we can never be content with our own somewhat mediocre attempts to just content ourselves with our own activity in attempting to follow the Lord, but that we have to be, we have to give ourselves to him and be guided by him. So we're here in these Sundays after Pentecost from St. Paul, that we are children of God if we are led by the Spirit of God, led by his Spirit. The Blessed Virgin Mary, our model of perfection, says, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." So we have all of those gifts of the Holy Ghost to divinize even our manner of doing things. And if they do not grow to their full potential, if the seed does not become a tree to house all the birds of the air, it will only be because of our own fault, that we didn't water it, that we got too many worldly preoccupations or concerns which smothered that seed. And so let us recall the great heights to which we are called. And Father Antonio Royo Marin, who wrote this 1,000-page work on the theology of Christian perfection, synthesizing all the saintly doctrine of the tradition of the Church of how to be holy in a scientific manner. He expounds it. It's probably the best work on the subject available, both in Spanish and in English. And he wrote a little summary of that work, and having been a director of souls for his whole long life long, he then asked himself, why are there so many failures and arriving at the heights of holiness? And he says, one, because we don't truly desire it. No? We try to content ourselves with a more mediocre level. And St. Teresa of Avila was one to say that one needs a very great and muy and very determined determination to become a saint. So that we have to, as St. Thomas responded to his sister when she asked him how to become a saint, he said, "Will it?" Okay? Not in a Pelagian sense, but that my grace is sufficient for thee. Will to surrender yourself to our Lord. Follow his commandments. His grace is sufficient for you. And that likewise a lack of a supernatural desire. We're not really aiming to the heights of sanctity, that that we're relying very much on our own effort, rather than, as our Lord said, becoming like a little child so as to enter the kingdom of heaven. To depend on him, as he is the vine and we are the branches. It's God who's at work within us, both to will and to accomplish according to his good pleasure. And then he says, a lack of direction, you know, in terms of what we should do. And that, as I've often mentioned to you, is the advantage of our fraternity apostolates, is that we are, on average, one priest for about 150 people. You know? Here we're two for 200 in the Naples area. Often available in confession and for private counsel, and with a formation simply of handing on what we've received. Not that any priest has to be very intelligent to guide souls, but rather very faithful, to simply repeat what the saints counsel so as to grow in holiness. And then we should ask ourselves, what does holiness consist in? Okay, if now we're convinced we want to become saints, that God is giving us a grace, he's calling us to those heights, then what does it consist in exactly? Because perhaps we have inadequate ideas. And he sums up all the definitions of holiness in four. And even though the others are contained implicitly in each one, so that we don't, St. Thomas points out how nature is determined to one tendency. You know, we see by our temperament. So a more melancholic, timid soul might justify all of holiness in just spending time in prayer, a more active temperament and doing great works for the Lord. So let's get a full vision here with these four definitions. The first is that it consists in the imitation of Christ. And let's stop and appreciate that, you know, that holiness is a person, okay? And how the novelty, the wondrous novelty of that, as before the coming of Christ, the Greeks, for example, looked for wisdom, but honestly have to admit, it's pretty hard to read the Nicomachean Ethics of Aristotle or his Metaphysics, okay? It's not necessarily for everybody, you know? We don't all learn so easily from abstract concepts and logical deductions. Whereas our Lord comes as the Word became flesh, the Logos, the wisdom of God becomes flesh and dwells amongst us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. As if those two lessons contained all the rest. As God gives grace to the humble, we are what we are by the grace of God. And in meekness, we would be measured according to the measure that we measure others. Okay, so we get to decide how merciful we want to be and how merciful our Lord will be with us. And that he's always spoke in parables, and without parables, he did not teach the people. Everything is according to our understanding, and that holiness isn't our own personal ambition, some sort of plan, so much as it's a person whom we have to bow before, kneel before, receive, so that he lives within us. Only God is good, okay? And our aim is to be able to say that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, okay? And so that we're striving at this unity with a person, that he is communicating sanctity in and through us. And then secondly, he says, and look at the life of Christ too, I should add, that how imitable. He was a child, obedient. He was in exile. He was persecuted. He was betrayed. He lived a humble life. He lived a private life. He was a humble worker, a hidden life, a public life. He preached. So everybody can identify with the life of Christ, who is our model of perfection. And secondly, it consists in the perfection of charity. Okay, I very much recommend the works of St. Francis de Sales, who constantly emphasizes this point against the spirit of Jansenism in his day, not exactly the most proliferate heresy of our day, but we kind of tend to the other extreme, of course. But speaking to Catholics who are very practicing and striving to be holy, oftentimes those other motives can subtly sneak in, motives of pride, so as to impress others or impress ourselves, our own expectations of what sanctity should be. We have to always go back to that point that St. John says that God is charity, and he who dwells in charity, abides in charity, abides in God, and God in him. And that the love of God consists not in that we have first loved him, but that he first loved us while we were sinners. Okay? And if we understand that it consists in charity, you'll understand. This is likewise what we were contemplating in the message of the Sacred Heart, was that you don't need to be of great health. Okay? You don't need to be able to fast every day or make vigil every night to be a saint. If you can do everything you do for the love of God, you can be like St. Louis de Montfort says of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she merited more grace in the twirling of her distaff, sewing, cooking, and the ordinary chores of the house of Nazareth than the martyrs in their most cruel martyrdoms, because she did it with greater attention and love of God. Okay? So even as you get together every day and pray your family rosary, you contemplate joyful mysteries as a source of sanctification. Okay, you're united around the table, you're having a good time. You see, our Lord did this. He did not live such an severe penitential life as corresponded to the Baptist in preparation. But he gives us a more universal model, that he's often amongst at parties, you know, eating and drinking with the people, taking that as a chance to direct their minds to God, give thanks to God for all those joyful moments. And know that the sorrowful moments will lead you to the glorious mysteries as well. So perfection of charity, and always coming back to that point, love is repaid by love alone, okay? Doing everything for the love of Christ. Thirdly, the perfection of the interior life. Okay? It's from our Lord's mouth where he says there is one thing necessary, and that's to be at his feet. What did God the Father say at the Transfiguration? Hear ye him. Just as in old, of old to the Israelites, it was, hear, O Israel, hear, hear, hear. So we have to be attentive. We have to be like little children. We have to receive the kingdom of God, okay, in prayer. And it's the soul of all apostolate. We, to the degree we're united to, with Christ in prayer, so will we be fruitful in our apostolic efforts. Okay? St. John of the Cross says, those who are more united do so much more good than those of a lesser degree of sanctity, okay, together. So it's a legitimate question for a child. Did you say your prayers today? Okay, but for one who's no longer a child, it should be, have you prayed? And the apostle, how much? The apostle builds this, pray without ceasing. So that we, in our prayers, in our formal time of prayer, we're hopefully fomenting the spirit of recollection, which should go with us throughout the day, that the Lord lives in whose sight I stand, as the prophet Elias says, so that we're trying to practice the presence of God, okay, in all that we do. Think of it by analogy of those who fall in love, you know, with another human being. You know, you see them at work, all of a sudden they're smiling and whistling, and they spend all the day sending messages or looking at pictures of their beloved, okay? If we, it's more difficult with God because he's invisible, but if we spend time meditating every day, we'll start to see how good, how sweet he is. And then we'll be inflamed with that love. And during the day, we can have religious pictures. It's so easy now with the technology, no? We can listen to a million audios at any time. Have some prayer and works on our phone, like the iPieta. Okay, we can always just keep that flame enkindled by those ejaculatory prayers, those frequent elevations of the mind and heart to God throughout the day, okay? The perfection of prayer. And lastly, in conformity with the will of God, okay? That lest we think that we'll be holy by perhaps neglecting our duties at home, so as to spend all day in church. Just remember that, again, the greatest saints in heaven, St. Joseph, Blessed Virgin Mary, did the most ordinary occupations, okay? When they asked St. Louis Gonzaga, what he would do to, what would he do if the world were to end right now, and he was at recreation playing billiards, he said he would continue to play billiards, because that's what the rule prescribed for him at that hour, recreation. And he lived every moment like that, simply doing the duty of his state in life, as ordinary as it might seem, but for that extraordinary spirit, for the love of God, okay? And you'll see it in the lives of saints. July 12th, I believe, was the feast of Saints Louis and Marie, the parents of Zelia, the parents of Saint Therese. And just to read their life, very imitable, you know, accepting all the penances. They each tried to choose religious life, and it wasn't their vocation. They married for religious motives. They wanted to put God first. They even tried to live as brother and sister in the beginning, till a priest counseled them that they should have many kids. She, of course, dies very young and leaves him with all the children. She remarks it like Saint Bernadette. She doesn't, that Our Lady promised to make me happy in the next life, not in this life. Okay? She lives for heaven. She accepts her sufferings, those sorrows, as he did in the loss of his wife and the loss, too, of his mental faculties as he got older, too. Accepting all those trials that God already has planned for our life, is accepting them for the love of him and trying to fulfill our duty, but for the love of God. And so you see, it is possible. And on this day in which two young girls make the first Holy Communion, we should all think about how we make our own Holy Communions, because it's there that we receive Christ himself, his sacred heart and burning charity that he's received into our interior life. And we should ask him that we might more and more conform ourselves to his will, as St. Pius X, when he allowed for more frequent Holy Communion, he said, provided that, we do it so as to grow in holiness, okay? Not just out of routine, but doing it at each Holy Communion so that you can grow closer to Christ and grow in holiness. And thus the Church has us pray in the preparation prayer for Holy Communion. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who according to the will of the Father, through the cooperation of the Holy Ghost, as by thy death given life to the world, deliver me by this thy most sacred body and blood from all my iniquities and from every evil. Make me always cleave to thy commandments, and never suffer me to be separated from thee, who with the same God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, liveth and reigneth, God, world without end. Amen.